Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served for more than 20 years as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University. Today we present another in our continuing studies from the book of Genesis.
Turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to take up where we left off at our last study. Here we're going to discuss today the covenant of the Lord that he made with Noah. That is, the portion in chapter 6 which deals with God's declaring unto Noah that he would make a covenant with him. I'd like to call your attention to the fact that although we have the first reference to the making of a covenant in verse 18 of Genesis 6, it seems very obvious that God entered into covenant with Adam in the Garden of Eden, and we commonly call that the Edenic covenant, which regulated the life of man in his unfallen condition in the Garden of Eden. There was probation of an unfallen race at that time, and Adam was responsible to the direct command of God. After the fall, it seems that God entered into covenant with Adam as a sinful person. And we call this the Adamic covenant. The Adamic covenant regulated the life of fallen man outside of Eden. And he was the person by which a sinful race came into being. It's evident from Scripture that and no children were born to Adam and Eve until after the fall. And in that time, man was responsible for an awakened conscience. Now, when we come to the Noahic covenant, in which God declares in Genesis 6, verse 18, "With thee will I establish my covenant," this covenant is to regulate life of surviving man after the flood. Now, man failed in his duty under the Adamic covenant to heed the awakened conscience as God had commanded him, so as to keep a watchful control over the desires of his depraved nature. The result was that the wickedness of man became great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And therefore the wrath of God was kindled against the earth, and in his fury God would destroy all earth life with a flood. And so we read here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 17, where God says, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die, but with thee," that is, with Noah, "will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives, with thee." So, here in these verses is indicated the occasion for the establishment of the covenant of God with Noah, whom God would preserve through the waters of the flood. And that was the destruction of all flesh, all human flesh, all animal flesh, that is, flesh of earthly animals, all flesh of the fowls of the air. And Noah was required to construct an ark, the construction of which we discussed in our last Bible study, and to take upon that ark with him a pair of every animal and every fowl upon the earth, and seven pairs of every clean animal upon the earth. So the occasion then was the destruction of all flesh. And we read some very interesting things in the Word of God later on about Noah and the preparation of the ark. We read, in, for example, in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." So you'll notice that Noah obeyed God in reference to the preparation of the ark because he was moved with fear. That is, he was moved with a proper attitude of reverence towards God, and consequently obedience to God's word when he says, "I'm going to destroy all flesh, but I'll make my covenant with you, Noah, and you're to build an ark for the preservation of life." And so he did. The result was his whole household was saved. Himself, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And he condemned the world. That is, the world was brought under condemning judgment as a result of Noah's obedience, because they refused to hear Noah's message and heed the warning of the coming flood. And he also became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, also in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, we have another record regarding Noah's work, where it says, "Noah, at the time of the long-suffering of God that waited in his day, prepared an ark wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." So, Noah's obedience in preparation of the ark during the days of God's long-suffering of that Canaanite civilization, which was wicked, provided the means by which the souls of himself and his family were saved, were delivered from judgment, being borne up by the very waters that came and destroyed all living things. So you see, the occasion then for this covenant was God's declaration of the destruction of all living creatures on the earth with the flood. A second thing that's revealed in this passage with regards to the covenant of the Lord is the objects of this covenant. Look at verse 18. "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." And then in chapter 9, where the provisions of that covenant are given, we read also in verse 9, "And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you." And then he calls them the fowl of the air, the cattle, the beasts of the earth, everything that was to go into the ark. He also speaks of this covenant in verse 16 as being the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Now, this first covenant that is mentioned then in Scripture by name is called an everlasting covenant. That is, a covenant which shall never come to an end. It shall never run its course. It's called a covenant that's made between Noah and his family, between Noah's seed or descendants after him, between God and all creatures of the earth that would be in the ark. And it is a covenant, an everlasting covenant, made between God then and the earth. There's an interesting passage in the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah in which God declares that the reason he's going to send the judgments of the period of the tribulation, which of course will follow this age of the church in which we live, is because the earth has broken the everlasting covenant. And when we get to this in chapter 9 of Genesis, we'll point out several things relating to it. And that indicates that the earth, which was required to maintain law and order by civil government, failed to do so. And the result, God's judgments will be poured out upon the earth in what we know in the book of Revelation as the apocalyptic judgments of God during the period of the coming tribulation. So the objects then of this covenant were Noah, his family, his posterity, every living creature that would be preserved in the ark upon the earth. And it's an everlasting covenant. The third thing that is set forth in this passage regarding the covenant of the Lord is the objective of the covenant. Chapter 6 and verse 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. And they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And, of course, in verse 21, we're told that there's to be food taken in the ark sufficient to sustain all these creatures during the period of the flood. Then in chapter 7 and verse 3, or we better read verse 2 with it, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of the fowls of the air by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. So you see there's a two-fold objective, really one, stated in two ways. Number one, the objective was to keep alive these animals, and to keep seed alive from which offspring should be brought into the world. So it was to preserve life. Now, it's quite obvious then that all the animals that were brought with Noah up in the ark were brought there in order that they might be preserved during the period of the flood, and that there might be seed alive by which offspring from these animals could be born and cover the earth again. Nothing was to be taken on the ark that was to be destroyed. So Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives, two of all unclean animals and birds, and seven pairs of all clean animals were to be taken. Thus God preserved them from the awful destruction of the flood. And we can thank God for this Noahican covenant designed to preserve life.
You've been listening to another lesson by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. These studies from the book of Genesis were recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.